Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Syrma SGS Technology Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Nair.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Syrma SGS Technology Q1 FY24 earnings call. I would like to welcome the senior management from Syrma SGS Technology and thank them for this opportunity to host the call. Without any further delay, I shall now hand over the conference call to Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Company Investor Relations. Over to you, Nikhil.
Thank you, Bhoomika. Hi, very good morning to all. Welcome to Syrma SGS first quarter fiscal year 2024 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director of Syrma SGS, Mr. Jayesh Doshi, Director, and Mr. Bijay Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer, Syrma SGS, to discuss the performance of the company during the first quarter fiscal year 2024, followed by a detailed question and answer session. During this call, certain statements that will be made are forward-looking, which involves several risks, uncertainties, assumptions, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements made herein are based on the information presently available to the management, and the company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements that may be made in the course of this call. In this regard, please do review the disclaimer statements in the earnings release and all other factors that can cause the difference. I will now hand over the call to Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director, Syrma SGS. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to touch base with you again for the quarter one FY23-24 earnings call. One of the significant milestones which we achieved in this quarter was our foray into the lucrative medical devices business by acquiring 51% of the equity stake of GDHL, which is Johari Medical Devices Limited, a Jodhpur-based ODM design company, which perfectly fits into our sort of strategy. If you recall, in my earlier calls, when questioned on inorganic growth, we were always maintaining that inorganic growth will be guided by acquisition of a company which can help us in bridging the gap of our product offerings or has a regulatory approval which otherwise would take three to four, five years. On both these accounts, in terms of product offering as well as regulatory approval, GDHL comes out pretty well. It has about 15-18 FDA approvals. Its plant and processes are certified by the leading agencies of countries like America, Canada, Australia. It is a very strong and formidable footprint into the technology of medical devices. We believe that with the global reach, the management bandwidth, and the financial sort of mainstay of Syrma, this combination of technology being provided by GDHL and the management bandwidth by Syrma would enable us to grow this business significantly in the coming years. For your quick reference, this company has a turnover of about 160 crores last year, closed at about 160 crores last year, has been growing very rapidly over the last two, three years, has an EBITDA profile, a very strong EBITDA profile of 30%+. We are acquiring the 51% stake at about 229 crores and plus a 28 crore payment based on certain milestone achievements. This acquisition will be accretive, not so much on the top line, because our top line is very high already, so it may be a 5% accretive on the top line, but on EBITDA, it will be a significant push to our overall scheme of things. Now, coming to way the organization will be structured, Mr. Johri will continue to lead the organization from the front as a chairman, and there will be adequate equal representation from Sirma on the board with reserve rights and controls. We would be devising the strategy to grow the company with the technological inputs coming in from the existing promoters. Now, coming on the Sirma SGS performance, it has been a satisfying quarter on almost all the parameters except one. The business of the company has grown by about 59%. The EBITDA margins have grown by about 64%, PBT by 73%, and PAT by 65%. And again, when we were earlier sort of interacting with the analysts and the investing community, we had maintained 3-4 parameters for our performance. One was growth higher than the industry average. We have come out reasonably well, if not I was on this account. The second, we had said that we would have a gliding path of reducing the working capital cycle. And I'm pleased to share with you that our working capital cycle has now come down from about 89-90 days to 74 days on a year-end basis and less than 70 days on a average basis. So the focus of the management to reduce the working capital cycle has paid off results, as a result of which this quarter our OCF to EBITDA is about 50% plus. One aberration which has happened in this quarter is a reduction in the EBIT percentage from 9% to about 7%. This is a one-off aberration because the healthcare business, which had picked up in Q4 of FY23, we had assumed it would be there in Q1 of FY23-24. It got pushed out by a quarter. And I'm happy to share with you that it has seen a rebound in July, and what we have the visibility for this and the subsequent quarters is that we will be doing about 30 to 35 crores of healthcare business this quarter, and then growing on that in the coming quarters. To give you a context of the hit on the sort of reduction in the EBITDA, Q1 of FY23 had a healthcare component of 55 crores. Q4 of FY23 had a healthcare component of about 45 crores. And Q1 has less than 15 crores, it's about 14-odd crores. So there's a 40 crore reduction in the healthcare business compared to Q1 of FY23 and a 30 crore reduction compared to Q4 of FY23. Now, as in the margin profile which we have been sharing with you, healthcare business is a high gross margin business and which hovers around 45%. So, 40 crore hit on the turnover translates into approximately 17 crore hit on gross margin. And a 30 crore hit compared to Q4 is about 15 crores. So, if we were to just sort of explain that figure into the existing figures which have come out, the margin profile is intact compared to the previous quarters. Now, on the business front, I am very pleased to share with you that we have had our first major breakthroughs in US. Our EMS business was predominantly EU-based, and RFID business was a mix of EU and America, North America. We have got a major contract for utility metering systems, and utility metering would include gas, water, and electricity. from a very dominant player in the world. And the initial orders which we have got, we are starting the startup production by Q4 of this calendar year or Q3 of this financial year. And this will contribute a significant portion to our export turnovers next year. So to some extent, this foray into USA in the EMS is de-risking the export business, because now it is in two geographical zones, which is the EU and North America. And going forward, this business would grow at a significant pace. I shared with my and during my annual earning call that we have got the RDSO approval, so that thing is in process, and we are on track to execute the orders which we have got this year. Now, on the expansion, the capex front, I'm happy to share that in the first quarter we have done a capex of about 50 odd crores against a budgeted and a capex of 200 crores this year. We currently have approximately 8.5 lakh square feet of manufacturing area with us. We have acquired a 16-acre plot of land from SIPCOT in Krishnagiri district, which is next to Hosur. And we have signed off an agreement for acquiring a 6-acre building plot in Chennai for the domestic business. Our Chennai plants are all export-oriented units currently. These two plants, when fully commissioned, will have a factory covered area of 1.5 million. So which is approximately almost two times what we are having today. In addition to that, we have signed off a long-term lease for a plant in Noida. It's under fit-outs and trial production. It's a 1 lakh square feet plant, and this plant is being dedicated for consumer electronics, and so that we can address the growing market of consumer electronics from this plant. It will be a specialized, high-volume, consumer-oriented manufacturing, because manufacturing strategies and shop floor cultures of industrial consumer is quite different. So that's on the capex front. On overall visibility, we are still very bullish and confident of the growth numbers which we have projected. Q1 we have grown by about 59%, July we have grown about 47% July to July, and we maintain that the guidance which we had given on growing greater than the industry with maintaining EBITDA in the double-digit margin, that by and large stands, and there is no significant challenge to that. So I can now give it to Bijay to run through the quick financial numbers and then open for question answers from your side. Thank you.
Hi, good morning everyone. Thank you for joining this earnings call today. I'll now take you through the brief financials of Sigma SGS and some bit of update on Johari Digital, the recently announced acquisition also. So I'm delighted to say that the company has registered a very strong growth of almost 59% year on year. So our revenue consolidated on a consolidated basis is approximately 620 crores for this quarter. EBITDA also demonstrated a very strong performance for this quarter at about 59 crore rupees, 64% growth year on year. And this is despite aberrations as explained by Mr. Gujral as of now. So we were able to sustain on the controls on the cost side. PBT for this quarter is approximately 41 crores, grew by again 73% year on year. And same way, PAT is 28.3 crores, again a 65% growth year on year. Gross margin for this particular quarter was slightly better by about 70 bps on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and mainly based on our efforts towards our supply sourcing cost optimization in a way. Coming to our order book, we have a total order book of approximately 3,500 odd crore rupees as on date in hand, and out of which about 2,200, 2,300 crore is something we expect to deliver in next 12 months time. On the debt side, yes, we have a total debt of approximately 380 crore rupees as on June end, and out of which about 90 crore rupees is towards term loan, and 290 crore rupees is what we have used for working capital loan broadly. Capex side, Mr. Gujral has already updated that we had spent approximately 55 crore rupees in this quarter, and again the plan for this full financial year was approximately to spend 200 to 250 crore rupees, and that is still intact. On the capex side, what Mr. Gujral has already updated that we got a new land allotment in Hosur. So this was a project which we contemplated as a part of our IPO plan. So for this Hosur project, we got a land allotment from SIPCOT, and we had already incurred about 23 odd crore rupees during this quarter for that particular project. Coming to working capital, definitely this quarter we have a very significant achievement on our plans to reduce our working capital investment. And we were able to reduce our working capital investment by almost 40 crore rupees if we compare from March versus June. And again, in terms of number of days, when we calculate on an average inventory basis, our number of days investment is also reduced from 74 to 67 days. So there is a 7 days of investment. And again, we are targeting, so like we should be able to continue this plan as we contemplated previously also. OCF to EBITDA for us is about 45% for this quarter. And again, ROC is approximately 20%. That is when we calculate based on adjusted ROC after removing for unspent IPO proceeds and goodwill. Now, some update on Johari Digital also. As you know, we have acquired 51% from Johari Digital. This was a strategic move that strengthens our position in the fast-growing space here on the healthcare side. JDHL has also registered a very strong growth in terms of its revenue and very strong profile, margin profile here, 30% plus kind of a beta margin profile they are continuing. We expect this should help us in accretion of revenue on a full scale basis, on a full consolidation basis, by about 5 to 7% on the revenue side and about 1 to 1.5% on the overall EBITDA side going forward. In terms of funding for this acquisition, we plan to use IPO proceeds for this particular acquisition to partly we would be using internal accruals for this particular acquisition. So that was broadly on the JDHL side. Now I'll leave it to Bhumika to open for the question answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Venkatesh Balasubramaniam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Could you give us the breakup of, you know, you said your net working capital days in your presentation at the end of the quarter was 69 days. Is it possible to give the receivable days, inventory days and payable days at the end of the quarter? That would be my first question.
So inventory days are approximately 81 days. Receivables are approximately 59 days and payables 74 days. So on that basis, we are at about 67 days of net working capital.
But this would be the average, right? Can you provide the quarter end number?
Yeah, quarter end.
Quarter end also, I can give it to you. Just one second. Yes, quarter end basis, my inventories are approximately 100 days. Receivables are approximately 67 days. And again, payables are approximately 95 days. So on a quarter end basis also, my overall net working capital days investment is approximately 74 days.
Okay, okay. Now, are these numbers sustainable going forward, or, you know, you usually have like a low in first quarter which then increases?
So in terms of actual inventory, definitely when the with the increase in scale, it should happen. But what we see and the trend is specifically when we the recently commissioned plants, which we did in last particular financial year, those plants related to final full scale volume and revenue is happening. So we are expecting this should continue going forward also in this particular year.
Okay, understood. Besides this, is it possible to provide what was the customer advances on your balance sheet at the end of March 23?
That we will have to check and we can share separately.
We'll have to get back on that, but there wouldn't be significant amount because normally the customer advances are only in case of a new customer where we have to commit some very dedicated inventory. For normal running products, the customers normally don't give advance. When a new customer is onboarded and there's a specific part which I can use only for him and I can't use it, it's not fungible with other products, then we do secure our exposure. But Vijay will share it with you offhand. And on your question on the working capital, the management is seized of this issue. And I think what we had said that we'll have a gliding reduce the working capital, net working capital. That endeavor will stand. Whether it is 68 days or 65 days, 1, 2, 3 days here and there, but there will be no aberration of going back to the old levels.
Okay, understood. Now, broadly, there were a couple of other things which I was keen to know. One is you said that you can maintain double-digit margins going forward. Now, when you are actually talking about that double-digit margins, you actually include the other income in your calculation and then talk about it, right? So, it will include the other income also in it.
See, the other income has two legs. One is the treasury income, and when we compare the margins, we normally exclude the treasury income and then share the margins. There are margins, the other incomes which are related directly to the operations of the company. Okay. So the accounting standards say they have to be classified as such. When I buy a material, there's a cost which is based on the custom exchange rate. When I actually pay, it could be more or it could be less. So any fluctuation on foreign currency, whether on receivables or on payables, is directly related to that. Now the law is such that when I import, I have to book it based on the bill of entry rate. Now if the law was not that, and the bill of entry rate was based on the actual things, then this thing would automatically get knocked off. So when we share the profile, that will be about a double-digit EBITDA margin. It is with operating incomes related directly to the operations of the company, not the treasury incomes or not the miscellaneous income.
Okay. Now, broadly, when you talk about...
Subramaniam, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on the good growth that you have seen during the quarter. My first question is with respect to the gross profit margins. You had highlighted some points, definitely with respect to how we can improve the call earlier. But if you can double-click on it and say, if over the past couple of quarters, it has been in the low 20s in terms of overall profitability. Is there a scope for this to improve significantly, say 25% or more? Given the fact that the industry average, if I'm not right, correct, so basically it may be in the 30s or something of the sort. Is there a scope for us to improve to those levels over the next, say, few quarters or a couple of years or something of the sort? And what can be the triggers for that? Increased ODM share, export ratios, if you can touch upon that, that would be really good.
See, we believe that with the product mix which we have, we should be able to maintain the gross margins at about 24, 25, around that percent overall. We currently do not see it going up to 30%. Okay. Should we be able to identify that how it can go up to 30%, I'll be most happy to come back and share with you. We currently are still looking at it, but we don't see a gross margin of 30% coming forward. Until and unless, again, This is a hypothetical question. If, for example, exports were to account for 50% of my revenue, then it would go up. But the current mix which we have, we believe it will be in the range of 23, 25, 26. That would be the range which will continue. The EBITDAs would come in from the operating leverages as our businesses grow. If you see the Q4 operating overheads as a percentage of sale, there is a significant reduction. If we see Q1 of this year versus Q1 of last year, there is a significant reduction. I think there is a 3 or 4% reduction in the operating expenses as a percentage of sale. Exports, we would strive to be about 1/3 on a long-term basis. Short-term basis, it could be few percentages point down here or there. I think for this quarter, it was about 28%.
Got it. And my second question is with respect to the acquisition that we had done. The numbers of this company, both in terms of growth and margins, say in FY23, that you have mentioned is fabulous. I mean, from FY22 of, if I read right, it's 90 crores to almost 160 crores of revenue. That's almost like near to doubling in terms of revenue. And margins are also, you had mentioned that it was north of 30% EBITDA margin. First, is such kind of growth sustainable? What kind of growth that you foresee for this newly acquired business over the next 2 years? This 30% margin is very high. Is it something which can be sustained in the medical equipment business side? Is it similar to the business that we do in the core business?
See, on the growth front, since the base of the company was very low, it has grown at 85% and 78% over the last 2-3 years. Honestly, when we acquired and when we evaluated this, we didn't factor this level of growth. On a conservative, we said if it was to grow at 25%, 30%, 35%, would it be a good bet for us? And we found that even if it grows at 20%, 25%, it would be a very good bet for us, and it will fulfill a gap of medical devices, which is a very lucrative and growing business globally. If we grow at 80%, that will be phenomenal, but we have not factored that growth in our analysis when we did the due diligence. On margins, I think 30%, hovering around 30% of EBITDA, whether it is 32 or 29 or 1-2%, is always here and there. But we believe that for the near foreseeable future, we would be able to maintain EBITDA margins in this business at 30% plus. Now, on the growth part, you see what happens in medical devices is you get your products approved from the regulatory agencies. Now, that is a long period for approval of the product. So, currently, I think there were 15 or 18 number of products which have been FDA approved. And there are some more products in the pipeline. Now, till those FDA approval comes, we believe we'll grow at 20%, 25%, 30%. But the moment if say out of the 10 or 8 or 5 or 7 products which are in pipeline, 3 get approved. Now, that 3 will add a significant growth to the business. So, it will always be a sort of a period that there will be a spike in the growth when new products get approved. Then there will be sustenance and consolidation of the markets. And then new products are in the pipeline, so it will be an ongoing cycle.
And just to add to what Mr. Gujral says, I think we should look at this as a platform for medical devices is what we have created. The idea is to create this platform of medical devices because it comes in with all the requirements of a US FDA approvals or a MDSAP approval, which is required for exporting to these developed countries. The idea is that whenever medical devices is conceived and pre-designed, co-created, the manufacturing can be in India. And we can, as Pirma, support in terms of management, as Mr. Gujral has already said, management and bandwidth and the available facilities which we can really sustain. So, I think we should look at this as a creation of a platform for medical devices, which is significantly going to add value over 3 to 5 years is the way at least we have perceived this acquisition, rather than just one-off of adding it to my things. And that's a vertical, as Mr. Gujral very said, that this is what we have been thinking strategically since last 1 year, and it's fructified today.
Got it, sir. And thanks a lot.
Yeah, just to add to what Jayesh was saying, now you see, with the global reach which Syrma SG has, which we have, we've just announced, we've just done it less than 48 or 24 hours. So it gives us a platform, as Jayesh is saying, to go to big customers. You see, again, a 100 crore company on its own to go to a global giant would have an issue. But a 3,000 crore company going to a global giant in medical devices and offering its product, the confidence level of the targeted customer is much more when it is dealing with, say, a 3,000, 4,000 crore company. So we believe that this platform, it's a platform which we have acquired, as Jayesh has very, very correctly put it. Now we have to grow on this platform. And this growth, I can assure you, will be visible in the coming years. It's not a 1-2 quarter journey, it's a long haul. But this platform will give us a big leg up into the medical devices business industry, which is a very big and fragmented industry.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the acquisition which we have done. If you can help us give some background about the promoter and, you know, looking at the profitability, balance sheet, no debt, etc. You know, it looks, deal is, you know, quite attractive or lucrative for us. So what led to this? Some color on this would be helpful.
You see, this Jewelry Digital or JDHL is almost a 40-79, so it will be, it's almost a 40-year-old company, started by a husband and wife technocrats, Mr. Sindhar Jewelry and his wife, and they have their design centers in Serbia. They are primarily a technology-oriented company, and ventured into manufacturing activities to satisfy the customer demand. Given an opportunity or an option, the current promoters would love to concentrate their time, spend their time in the lab to develop new products and not be bothered about the sort of day-to-day rigmaroles of running a manufacturing operation. This is where there's a very perfect strategic fit. We are very efficient into medium to high volume manufacturing, and the current promoters are very strong on technology. So it's a marriage of two. So going forward, we believe that we could leverage the strengths of each other with the product and the technological offerings of JDHL and manufacturing and marketing reach of Syrma SGS. It would be a formidable combination going forward. It will take time. It will take time to set up the distribution channels, the marketing channels, the whole strategy. But we are very excited about this platform which we have acquired. I don't say we have acquired a company. As Jayesh put it very rightly, we have acquired a platform for foray into a virgin area where Syrma SGS was not there.
And Chirag, one more thing. As Mr. Gujral said, that they are both promoters who are, you know, design and technology savvy. They had earlier lived all their life in US. They came back to India when they realized the kind of growth in terms of medical devices have been, that why not India can really give these devices and technology and make it here much, much cheaper than what the US companies were doing it. And with that idea, they came back to India in 80s and started this company and set up their plant in Jodhpur. And they really worked on to ensure that how they can cater to the US companies. And today, if you look at it, their 90% of their sales is exports. So they actually have wanted to create a platform, as we call it, Make in India, or a, you know, manufacturing hub, medical devices hub. That's what at least their thoughts were when we were talking. And they said, why not partner it to really make it big? That's where we are coming.
Right. Very, very clear, sir. Just a follow-up here. Two things. Do you intend to put any fresh capital here to grow this business, or it can grow at like 25-30% minimum without putting any capital? And do you have any right to take your shareholding up in near future, or this is what will be capping at?
See, on the capex part, since we have a very big presence in the electronic manufacturing, I don't think capex would be a significant thing, maybe something specific to it, or existing in the expansion which we have planned in Serma SGS, they would be able to take care of all the capex requirements of their growth strategy.
And the capacity utilization is just 40% as of now, Chirag. So apart from what Mr. Gujral said, that there is enough capability to produce. And in terms of your second question, yes, I think we will see how this platform grows and then jointly decide on how we take over. So there is always an option to buy, but that option will be decided at an appropriate time between the two parties.
Right.
Yes, it's a deleveraged company, strong balance sheet, deleveraged company, so that also is not an issue, even at the, you have the JDHL level.
So the company can fund its own capex in case it is required.
But going forward, I think with the Serma SGS coming on, with big contracts, it would be beneficial to consolidate manufacturing in the new hubs. Should the existing manufacturing area space capacity fall short, it will be consolidated or it will be migrated to the new hubs which we are starting.
Right. And in terms of the new order win which you have highlighted, utility metering system, how big is this opportunity for us, and how are the margins in this business? You know, if you can just give some flavor, that would be helpful.
Industrial thing, so the margin profile, it would be the industrial margin profile, which I think is about 23-24% gross margin. The initial figures which we have got are good. They are very exciting. And that's why I said that year 24-25, financial year 24-25 would be when you will see a significant leg up in our export revenues because of this contract. Our current export revenues are about 25-30%, so on 600 crores, the export revenues for a quarter are about 180 crores. So when I say a significant leg up, I think it is quite clear that it would be going up much beyond the current levels, the overall sales with this.
Right.
I can't give a forward-looking statement to be, but it's a big contract. It's a big contract, and we are very excited about it.
This is
again into currently we have got orders only in the utility metering business. But this is a BMOT, and going forward, once we are able to demonstrate our execution capabilities, I'm very confident that in the other verticals also we would get an entry. Yeah, Jayesh, you were saying something, sorry.
Yeah, just lastly, sir, on margins, if you can just call out, were there any one-off in employee cost in this quarter, and at a company level, X of other income, what kind of operating margins, you know, we are comfortable guiding for FY24?
The employee cost in the first quarter, typically what happens when you complete a financial year, you do the reviews and all those things. And when you do the reviews, you don't amortize the reviews over the whole year. Whenever you pay it off, the performance-linked incentives or anything, you just charge it off. Going forward, as my revenues go up, the employee cost, which is booked in the first quarter, will not go up in the same proportion. So I believe that just as if you see the quarter ending March 23, my operating costs had come down, and I think it was about 15%, if I'm not wrong. Somewhere I have written. And going forward, and in this quarter, it is, they are high. In this quarter, they are high because the revenues are low. On the margin, we still maintain the guidance that we would be striving to be a double-digit EBITDA on operational basis. And except for the treasury income, which is lying the surplus funds of the IPO, all other incomes are related to the operation. There's nothing which is a rental income or a treasury income. We exclude the treasury income when we give our guidance of margins. And what we have shared with you now.
So out of 22 crore other income booked in the quarter, how much is related to business where you would like to attribute?
Yeah, Vijay will take that
out. This other income, actually, which is treasury income related number, is about 16.4 crore rupees, and balance is my other operating income, which is about 5.6 crore rupees, which is mainly foreign exchange fluctuations.
So when we say a EBITDA of 42 crores, we don't consider the treasury income, we only consider the operational income.
Okay.
If I were to take the treasury income, the EBITDA would be 59 odd crores out.
Correct.
So the treasury income is not factored when we calculate our operating margin.
Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, kindly limit your question to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aditya Bagul from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. Sir, just to take the last point forward, wanted a clarification. The EBITDA number of 59 crores that you've mentioned on slide 8 and 9, this includes the other income, which is treasury income, right, of 16 crores?
Yes. 59 in course includes the treasury income of 15-16 crores. Without the treasury income, it is 42-43 crores is the EBITDA, operating EBITDA.
Correct. And what is
the guidance? I have explained to the aberration which has happened this quarter because of a sharp reduction in my healthcare business, which has got pushed to Q2, and we have already started billing that, and last month we did 10 crores. The loss of EBITDA because of a sharp decline in healthcare business in this quarter, if I was to compare it with Q1 of last year, would be 17 crores. If I was to compare with Q4 of last year, would be 14-15 crores.
Understood.
Contribution because of the sharp decline in the healthcare business. We did 55 crores in Q1, we did 45 crores in Q4, and we did less than 15 crores in Q1 of FY23-24. So the delta is 40 crores for Q1 and 30 crores for Q4 comparison. And healthcare business is about a 40-45-48% gross margin business. So on a 40 crore, a 45% would translate to 17 crores. On a 30 crores, it will translate to 15 crores. So ideally, if my healthcare business was as we had envisaged, I would have been sitting at an operating EBITDA of about 57-59 crores. Just as a sort of explanation, we are not there. And with the healthcare business reviving, and this quarter we expect to do 30-35 crores in healthcare and then build on it in the subsequent quarters, I think this one-off operation is like a bad dream, and we should recover. Or we will recover.
Thank you, sir. That was very, very clear. Just one last question. If you can talk about your overall order book for the next 18 months, and if you can give some texture in terms of which are the categories and segments that are likely to contribute to that.
The order book as of 30th of June is 3,500 crores. Which will be or about 2,000 odd crores, 2,200 crores is to be executed over the next 1 year, and then we keep getting the orders. The composition, the texture of the order book would be spread across electric mobility, combustion, industrial, consumer, almost in the same fashion of 25-40% would be the contribution of each one of the sectors. and export order book is also now with this new business which you have got is strong. We are also going into a significant growth in the railways, the numbers being very, very small, the base being small, hence I say it's significant. It may not be significant in relation to the total turnover, but again, railways is a platform which we are creating this year to grow in the coming years.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on a good improvement in working capital. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities.
Yeah, thanks, sir, and congrats for a great set of numbers. Sir, two questions. One, how should we think about the healthcare business? Because I guess the products that we were supplying were going in a consumer product like toothbrush. So obviously the customer, the large customer that we had must be procuring it from somewhere. So has the customer gone to any other competitor of us, or is there any issue? So how should we understand about that business? That is question number one. And secondly, the acquisition seems to be just too excellent and very accretive. So, while the margins are good, the growth was also, last 2 years, CAGR was also 80% plus growth. So, if we look at the valuation at which the existing promoters has sold to us, is less than 10 times EV/EBITDA on a FY23 basis. So, it will be much lower on FY24 or FY25 basis. So what was the exact reason for selling out at a such a lower valuation? Because it's not that he was not growing, he was growing at a very good rate of 80% plus rates. So these are the two questions. Yeah, thank you.
The customer has not gone to anyone else. The business, 100% business, is still with us. In fact, in the Q4 period, the customer has committed more capex for automation for this product. This customer has gone a lot of reorganization, and you see at times even big companies falter on their planning. So obviously his supply chains were choked in terms of the inventories. The customer had gone for a reorganization, and in big organizations, whenever there's a new team which comes in, the first thing is to have a status quo, check up the things, clean up the balance sheet so that the team starts on a clean slate. If it keeps on carrying legacy issues. So there are a combination of 3-4 factors, but be rest assured the customer has not gone anywhere. It's 100% with us for this product because he's committed and is committing more capex for automation, productivity improvement and features. So that takes care of the first question. On the second part, the JDHL, I think our M&A team did a phenomenally good job of stitching in a deal which makes sense to both the parties.
Just to add to what Mr. Gujaraj is saying, I hope you don't have a problem if the deal is good. Because if we do a bad deal also, there is a problem. And if we do a really nice deal also, there is a question that how come he sold it. So let me be a little serious and ask you why he sold it is because the growth, as Mr. Gujal explained, when he says 70 or 80% growth is on a small base. When you want to grow to a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 crore company in medical devices, you need a strong platform, you need a strong partner, you need a strong balance sheet to approach larger clients in US and everywhere. And that's why we told them that if you really want to make a platform and build your current shareholding to a level, let us come in at 51% and you will grow your 49% along with it and you will recover everything. I think that's the crux of the matter, is that how the partnership, you may look at 51-49, but it's more of a partnership where both the shareholders will work to make it as a real big platform of medical devices. That's the vision. So it's not that we've done some deal and he's given us cheap or he's cheap. Yes, it looks reasonable because there will be enough efforts from the entire Sirma team, as Mr. Gujral very correctly said, a lot of efforts will go from our side to make this happen. And if you look at it, I have left off 50% or 49% of value to them because it's going to be co-created. That's why the deal is looking so, on a singular basis, so attractive.
The overall scheme of things is that when we, anyone evaluate, is 100% giving me more valuation or 49% if I grow the business significantly? And in this case, it was a second alternative that with our bandwidth and their capability on technical, they would not have grown to a 5,400 or sort of 500 to 1,1500 crore medical devices companies because they didn't have the management and the financial bandwidth. And they are senior people, more sort of comfortable in the lab environment rather than in the on the road creating business. So I think going forward, their 49% would give them a phenomenal leg up in valuations because of the growth of the business. So it should not be taken off as a one-off transaction. Overall, going forward, I think both of us would benefit from this tie-up.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. You know, I have two questions. One on the order book side. Now, you closed the fourth quarter with closer to about 3,000 crore. You've got about 3,500 now. So in this particular quarter, you've got about 1,100 odd crore rupees of new orders. Now, that has a bearing on the profitability of the future quarters. So could you just break up this 1,100 crore into various segments where you've got it from? You know, which are the segments which are, you know, having the lion's share of the new orders that you've got in this particular quarter? So that's the first question.
So if I say the breakup of the current total order book that way, so broadly 25% is towards automotive sector. And then there is about 40-odd percent which is for consumer sector.
Including ODM.
Including ODM. Healthcare would be approximately 8-9%. And then there is industrial 20-22%. And IT and railways would be around 3-4% that way. So that's the overall breakup of the total order book.
Okay. And even the intake would be similar in this range?
So intake for this quarter is already there and we have, this is all based on certain confirmed orders that are. So we see, unless until there is a push out kind of a scenario for any kind of arrears maybe. Otherwise, intake should be broadly in the similar line.
Okay. Now, the second question is on the acquisition. You said, you know, that the balance 28 crore rupees will be paid based on certain milestones. Could you discuss these milestones? What are these milestones and what is the timeline for that payment?
Jayesh?
Yeah, I see, usually we would not like to disclose, but it's milestone, profitability-based milestone, and it's over a period of 2 years, two and a half years.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amar from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead. Mr. Amar, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with the question.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear? Am I audible? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, firstly, like, you know, if you can give us, like, you know, what are the plans for CAPEX? Like, you know, you guided for 24 around 250 crore. What would be the CAPEX lineup for 25? That is my question number one. Second question is basically, you know, if I see the gross margin even in this quarter expanded on a sequential basis, but your EBITDA dipped, like, you know, your argument of the medical business not coming, actually, you know, it does not have impacted the gross margin. So there must be something else which basically dipped the EBITDA margin, right? So that is my question two. And thirdly, if you can guide, what would be the tax rate for FY24?
So if I can ask, answer your first question on the CAPEX side. So you are right, this year we are targeting 200 to 250 and balance CAPEX, which will be approximately 150 odd crore rupees, which should go into the next year, FY25. That's where it is. Now, to answer your question on the EBITDA and the gross margin, you are right. Gross margin percentage is still similar that way. But if you see on the absolute total number, because fixed cost is actually fixed that way. So it should not be calculated on a percentage basis. But when we calculate EBITDA on a percentage basis, so fixed cost remains same. And as when my sales is almost 70 odd crore rupees lower than the previous quarter, in that case, if I would have earned that contribution of 17-18%, so I should have been able to get another 20 crores of contribution, which would have immediately reflected into my EBITDA, because fixed cost would have been remained same. So in that case, we were saying it is because of this shifting or pushing of the sales, that contribution is what we are missing, which is what is impacting in the actual total EBITDA, and then thereby the percentage EBITDA number.
And just to add to what Vijay is saying, my operating expenses as a percentage of sale for the Q4 23 sequential thing was 12.59%. For this quarter, it is 15.35%. So there's a 3% higher because my business is growing and the sales have not grown in Q1, because Q1 historically is a quarter which accounts for about 19, 20, 21% of the total revenues. The Q4 is about 30%. So it's a combination. So when I alluded to the healthcare devices, it was a direct hit. Had I done that 45, 40 odd crores additional business, my EBITDA would have come in more. It may not have made a major difference in the material margin, but in absolute terms, a 40 crore or a 30 crore medical devices business would have added 14 or 17 crores, depending on which figure we take, to the EBITDA. Now, if I take the operating overhead for Q1 of last year, they were 19%. So from 19%, we came down to 12% for Q4. On an annualized basis, there would be about 15-odd%. And in this quarter, because Q1 is typically a muted quarter compared to the overall period, it accounts for 20% of the sales. Overheads we build, we can't chop off the overhead quarter on quarter and then sort of hire or fire. So these are two factors. I highlighted the healthcare because that was one of the significant factors, from 54 crore to 14 crores.
And inside, the consistency of absorption of fixed cost happens over a period of 1 year and not quarter on quarter. So what Mr. Gujral actually highlighted is that this was a continuous phenomenon where the first quarter costs are always higher and ultimately the absorption happens over the period of 1 year. But had it been the business which would have come in the first quarter, that's why you highlighted, that's why the difference. So there is no, that something other thing has happened.
Okay. And then tax rate, sir?
Tax rate for this year should be approximately 26-27%. Currently, only Sirma is which is there in the old regime, which we are again internally evaluating how quickly we should move to the new regime. So if we move to the new regime in this particular financial year, it should be around 26-27%. And if we do not move to the new regime, in that case, it should be approximately 29.5% or 29-30% broadly.
Okay. Perfect, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the revenue side, so 600 crore kind of revenue, and you mentioned that of the order book, I think 23-25 billion kind of revenue can be executed this year. So should we mean that this 600 crore kind of quarterly run rate should continue for next 9 months? Is that fair understanding? And that is how we should see for the annual revenue?
If we go by the historical trends, then I think we can derive our figures. And now I'm talking of FY23. We had a run rate of 128 crores approximately in Q1 per month, which went up to 148 in Q2, went up to 175 odd in Q3, and about 200 in Q4. So from 128 starting, ending at 200. We are starting with 200, keeping our fingers crossed and looking at the customers and everyone. I think we should be growing at a rate higher than 200 in the coming quarters per month, because that has been the historical trend in the past years. So where I just shared 128 start of the year, 200 crores end of the year. So this year we are starting at 200 crores. So I think by the same logic we should be ending at the last quarter of this year, we should be at a higher run rate than 200.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, yes. We'll get back in the queue on that, but on second question on the automotive and consumer margin, so quarter on quarter, I think there is movement in gross margin as well, and say almost 300 to 500 bps kind of change.
See, what happens is on automotive also, in the EV segment, the margins are more higher. The combustion segment is matured, so the margins are comparatively tighter. On the consumer front, if my ODM sale goes up, the margins are high. And then also the product mix, it's a very high volume product, then the margins are a bit tight. So we would continue to see this I wouldn't call it a volatility, a shift in margins. This is a purely decisions of the company, what businesses we are entering, what businesses we get. So, as I shared with you, these are the two, three factors which account for a change. If my EV mobility goes up, the margins are better. The combustion, the margins are tighter. And same is the case with ODM, consumer, and plain build to print.
Sure, noted. Just last question. On
sir, I'm sorry
the acquisition.
Mr. Keyur Pandya, I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue, sir. There are several
participants. We'll do so. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So two questions. First, like you have now entered into the medical vertical, and also you mentioned about railways as a platform that you are building. So, going forward over the next couple of years, any other strategic entries that you are thinking about, any gaps that you have top of mind?
See, if I have been sharing in all my earlier calls also, that the growth areas, healthcare and medical was one, defense was second. Railways, I consider it as part of mobility, but railways, we were not present. And then the fourth area is the IoT-based electronics. IoT-based electronics is what we are doing, so I don't call it a separate vertical, but it's a separate field. Defense, we are definitely looking at as a vertical for growth, but it has long gestation periods and long regulatory approvals and all those things. So I think it will be a while before we see defense coming into our portfolios, a significant portion. We do a little bit of defense through some government companies, but it's not a significant portion of our revenue. Health medical devices would, over the coming years, form a decent portion of our revenues. Railways, the base is very small. So hypothetically, I'm saying that even if I, hypothetically, there's nothing, I'm just saying for the sake of a reference, if I was to do even 200 crores next year, FY24-25, and I was to do whatever turnover I do, it would form a very 3-5% of my revenue. It would not be a 10-12% like the automotive or the industrial or the consumer. But railways would be a growth area and a focus area, so that going forward in 3 to 5 years, it has a decent share in our revenue. That's how we would like to de-risk, with automotive and other things coming down and these new verticals going up. Coming down means as a percentage. They would grow in absolute numbers, but as a percentage, we would love to have all verticals below 20%.
Sure, sir. Understood. Very useful. And so second question in on this acquisition that you have done, when can we expect these numbers to sort of start reflecting in your numbers? Is it after a few approvals that will come through, or just any timeline on that?
I think Jayesh will take that. Jayesh?
We've taken a long stop date of 30th September. There are some condition precedents they have to do. So if they do it, then it will be from 31st August. So at least 6 months of the results will come in, because 30th September we will definitely do the transaction. So the, for the balance 6 months, it will certainly come in, maybe 6 months or 7 months, depending upon when the closing or payments actually happen.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for providing the opportunity. My first question is, you said your total capex for this year is 200 crores and then next year will be how much, sir?
Another 150 odd crore rupees.
Okay, this is over and above the acquisition what we are paying for, correct?
Yes.
See, the capex which Bijay was referring to is all organic capex. And as I shared in my opening statement, we are putting up campuses for catering to the future growth of the company. When I say future, it is not this year or next year, it is beyond 25.
Understood. So basically, if I look at, you know, FY24 and FY25, you have a capex of roughly about 400 crores, your acquisition cost including milestone roughly about 250 crores, and incremental working capital considering roughly 30% kind of a growth will be about 350 crores. So total required will be roughly about, say, 1,000 crores. So just trying to understand, you know, from the funding perspective, do you think how this will be funded? If you can give some color on that will be useful.
So against this, we already have a 700 odd crore rupees of unspent IPO proceeds also, which is already lying in our treasury, and you can see that. And again, balance would be funded through an internal accrual, because whatever working capital investment which you have considered in your working about 300 odd crore rupees, there will be an internal accrual also. What we are again tracking is like, my operating cash flow should be positive, which should automatically be funding my working capital investments. So if you leave aside that thing, the inorganic and the organic capex should be approximately 650 odd crore rupees, and that much of funding is already available with us as of now, as an unspent ISO proceeds.
Understood. And my third question is basically on the, you know, the overall EBITDA margin profile post-acquisition, you know, and if one assumes 30% kind of a growth in your base business and 20% growth in your acquisition business, then the, how do you look at the, your margin profile in about, you know, FY25, FY26?
So as I had explained previously, like, this may help us in EBITDA accretion for about 1 to 1.5% for a full year consolidation, but we are yet to see that number.
Understood, sir. Do you think you would need, you know, equity, you know, raising? Are you looking for equity raising over next 2 years, 3 years? Or you think, you know, because you might have one more acquisition opportunity, because, you know, you've been always scouting for good acquisition opportunities. So, you know, how, do you think any acquisition further over next 12, 18 months, or for now, currently no such plans?
I think we would not immediately require any cash the way we look at it, because the business is generating enough cash. And we've just taken one acquisition. So I think it's rather we consolidate this and grow the business before we get into anything. As, you know, Mr. Gujar very clearly said that we have organic growth coming in. We have enough cash to sustain the current businesses and the current growth, because we are going at a very rapid pace. And even with this rapid pace, we don't see any requirement for any equity raising.
Great, sir. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance.
Just one clarification. On the capex side, this 250 plus 150 crore of capex over next 2 years. So when you mentioned that this will double our capacity, so that is with 400 crore capex or 250 crore capex?
What I referred to was that we are in the process of, we acquired land and will be building the infrastructure, which would double over existing infrastructure in terms of space availability. We currently have about 800,000 square feet of area under production or in the factories and offices. The new facilities, two facilities which I alluded to, one in Chennai domestic and one in Hosur or Krishnapuri, Krishnagiri, would have a potential of having 1.5 million square feet of area, Now, I'm not saying that I will build 1.5 million in the next 2 years. I may not require 1.5 million. But as I had shared in my earlier call, we are moving away from standalone factories concept to a campus concept. So in a 16-acre campus, I would put in modular manufacturing facilities purely dictated by the business needs. So if, for example, the Hosur facility, I can have 1 million or 1.1 million square feet of area, I'm not going to build 1.1 million this year or next year. I may start off with 100,000, 150,000, and then as that gets loaded with business, a new business comes in, I put in another modular area for 100, 150,000. So it will be a campus. And same will be the case in Chennai. So we are moving away from standalone factories because operationally it becomes much more efficient to run campuses than having individual standalone factories, because each individual standalone factory will have all the functional requirements.
And that is where we have added capex in a staggered way, partly in this year, partly in next year. So just to answer you, like this, both these capex should be considered for the complete doubling of the capacity.
And both of these campuses plus some maintenance capex together would account for 400 crore over next 2 years, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. And just one more question on the acquisition. If you can just give more idea about that business's working capital and asset turns. And as you mentioned that 40% of the capacity is utilized, so probably with similar facility, we can at least double the revenue without any large capex. Is it correct? And their working capital and asset turns. For
them. Their capacity utilization is about 40%. So they are highly underutilized even at this kind of turnover. So we believe that it may not require any capex, maybe a little bit 5-10 crores for growing the business. And the working capital number of days last was about 95 crores, 95 days, 97 days overall.
And I think Vijay will share the asset turn with you.
And asset turn, on a, if you calculate on a gross asset basis, it will be approximately 5 times. And on a net asset basis, it is approximately 7 times.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Vishal Singh from Makarana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Sir, so basically I have two questions. One on the margin. So in the current quarter, the margin is around 7%, including the net foreign exchange number as well, right, which is operating as per you. So, and for full year, we are guiding for around 10% kind of a margin, right, or low double digit. So just wanted to understand.
That's what we are guiding, yes.
Yeah, so basically this would mean that in remaining 9 months we would have to sort of clock in around 11% kind of or 10 to 11% kind of a margin. So just wanted to understand that incremental delta, where will it come from? Because you mentioned that gross margin will remain maybe in 23 to 25% margin in that range. So just wanted to understand that.
It will come from the operating leverages, as I was just sharing with you earlier with the team. That yeah. My operating overhead in Q4 was 12.59% of the sales. In Q1, they are 15.35% of the sales. Going forward, as my revenue top line increases, which I alluded to, that 200 crore should go up, the operating leverages will automatically set in. reinstatement of my healthcare business, which is a highly EBITDA accretive, very low material margin, should make it possible to be at the double-digit margin level.
Okay, okay. Thanks. And lastly, I just wanted to understand, because as at the segment level, your gross margins have been declining for your big three segments like auto, industrial, and consumer. And I understand it's the play of EV being higher in auto and ODM being higher in consumer. So I wanted to understand what would be the contribution of EV in your auto segment currently and ODM in consumer currently, and versus the contribution in the order book that you mentioned about 35 billion.
EV segment of the
total.
EV business is approximately 50% of the total automotive business.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is accretive into the margins. And ODM, I think, was less. ODM was only about 14-15% because my healthcare business didn't come in. Again, if I add 40 crores of healthcare business, it doesn't increase the ODM to that extent, but it increases the EBITDA significantly. And as we have shared, we've been sharing all along, that the endeavor and the vision of the management is to have one-third exports approximately and a 25% ODM business in the overall scheme of things. 25% may not happen this year. I'm not only talking of the organic, I'm not talking of the acquisition part. But over a longer period of time, with our design and development teams getting matured and getting in revenue stream and the products, I believe we are well positioned to achieve 25% ODM revenue in the coming years. It may not happen this year, but over a longer period of time, it would definitely happen.
So this wording 15% is, if I compare to last quarter, so how much the contribution would have decreased?
Sorry, I couldn't get the answer.
So this ODM share that you mentioned about 14-15%, I just wanted to compare it with last year. How much would it have decreased?
This year is all ODM. So I just shared between Q4 of last year and Q1 of this year, our healthcare business has gone down by 30 crores. It was 45 Q4 and 14 odd crores over here. A 30 crore business is a 45% gross material margin, translates into about 14 crores of direct hit on the gross material and the EBITDA. The overheads in any case are the salaries, the wages and everything, they are almost fixed. They are there.
Okay. Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much for your answers. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. I would like to reiterate that we are on track for visibility guidance which you have given. We are on track for that. And we are very excited about the new businesses which we have got. And some of the softer areas where we are concentrating on a lot, for example, we were the only EMS company in the country to have been awarded the Most Preferred Workplace Award, which was announced in collaboration with India Today. We were the only EMS company. Our teams in South and our teams in North have won competitions on Kaizens, which are small quality improvements. Our soldering operators have been given runners-up certificates. So a lot of effort of the management, senior management, is going in preparing the organization, as I have been sharing with you all along, making the organization future ready. And end of the day, we have a satisfied customer if we have a satisfied workforce. And towards that, we have engaged external agencies. I had shared last time also, I'll share it once again. Stewards, we had engaged to do a employee satisfaction, employee engagement survey across our companies, across our plants. And I'm very pleased to share that we operate out of 6 states, 3 countries. We had an engagement level of employees of 79%. The top 25 in the country have 82%. So there's a scope for a little bit scope of improvement. The industry, the EMS industry, or this industry has an engagement survey of 61 to 63% in Asia Pacific and global. We have 19 engaged employees. When we say engaged employees, who are worried about the company, to one disengaged employee. Well, that's the area of improvement. The industry average is 8 to 1. So the efforts of the management to invest in the human resources, train them, motivate them, I think are paying off, and they would play a very significant role as we grow at the scorching pace at which we are growing. We are very sort of bullish on electronics manufacturing, and the vision of the management is to make Syrma SGS a $1 billion company ASAP. Whether it takes 4 years, 3 years or 5 years, I can't say, but that's the vision which we are working, and all the future expansions are aimed at that, are being done aimed at making Syrma SGS a $1 billion company with a significant footprint in USA and Europe, one-third of exports, a strong ODM content, and design-led manufacturing, which we have been maintaining all along. Thank you, gentlemen, for your support, and look forward to receiving this support in the future also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.